WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Since assuming his role as director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases in 1984, Dr. Anthony Fauci has received both praise and criticism for his leadership during the country's dark eras of both AIDS and COVID. The comparison and the contrast between those two health crises are explored in the new National Geographic documentary, Fauci. Through the voices of his biggest advocates, many of whom were once his harshest critics, and his own voice, often emotional testimonies, the audience comes to know Fauci as the person behind the nightly news segments in American homes and bobbleheads on office desks. The film looks at the parallels between the two pandemics that loomed over his career as a public servant, scientist, and physician, while also reckoning with the differences between our political and scientific world then and now. Let's take a listen to a clip from the film showcasing Fauci's personal life and his reflection on the AIDS epidemic.
God help us.
When I think about my dad growing up, I certainly think about that seriousness and wanting to do the right thing. At the same time, very few people get to see. He's funny, weird, and really playful.
You can't take everything seriously because then you'll start thinking that you're something that you're not. I loved clinical medicine. The idea of discovery and having an impact on people, that's what really captured me. I grew up in a somewhat tough neighborhood in Brooklyn. The culture is that you didn't get intimidated by a lot of things. When someone attacks, I don't immediately fight back. It's nothing personal, it's strictly business. In 1981, HIV/AIDS was evolving rapidly and frighteningly. There was anger at the response.
We accused Tony of causing those deaths.
Finally, I put myself into their shoes. That's when I started to really reach out.
It was pretty much the first and only time I think anybody in government came to us.
That changed everything.
When you got sick, you were gone fast.
It was so frustrating when you're used to fixing things and you're just not really fixing anything.
It's affecting you now.
Yeah.
Why?
Post-traumatic stress syndrome.
That is from the National Geographic film Fauci, which is streaming on Nat Geo's partner Disney Plus. Joining us to discuss now are co-directors and producers John Hoffman. Hi, John.
Hi, Allison. Pleasure to be with you.
And Janet Tobias. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Allison.
Janet, when did you first meet Dr. Fauci?
In 2017, after the group I was working with had finished a film called Unseen Enemy on the 21st century threat of pandemics.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, at that time, you probably knew more about him than most of us now that we all know so much about him. What struck you about him during the making of that film?
He wasn't in that film. We actually were on panels together
after
the film. And what struck me is how incredibly detail-oriented and thorough he was. Mm-hmm. He watched that film twice before being on the panels, and I thought, my God, he's such an incredibly busy man. And then he was very specific in his comments.
Now, John, due to COVID, you and Jan Anderson had very different responsibilities for this project. Can you explain your roles?
Sure. Janet was very generous in moving from New York to D.C., really as the lockdown was beginning in New York and soon to happen in D.C., to be able to spend a tremendous amount of time with Dr. Fauci over the following year. And I remained in New York and started preparing for the interviews with Dr. Fauci and working on a massive archive. We had incredible archivists. The whole team was wonderful, but the archivists collected just thousands of appearances by Dr. Fauci, and then a huge archive about the different pandemics that he took on, starting with HIV/AIDS.
That's interesting about the archive. I'm curious, did you, given how much of it, it's hard to ask questions. Now, how did you know when you found something that you knew was going to be useful and you knew it was going to be in the film, that it really sort of stood out to you, John?
It's a great question. The archive of the early days of AIDS is an incredibly difficult time to go back to and to relive so much of that era. I was in New York at that time as a young man moving here from college, coming out and confronting this epidemic that was starting to kill people around me. So to go back to that time was particularly difficult. But there were these media appearances that Dr. Fauci started doing in which he was being confronted by just hostile homophobia. And the way that he took that on, the sort of emergence that you could see in Dr. Fauci of having to confront people who were angry, who were confused, who were, in some instances, deliberately stoking fear to their own political advantage. And to really witness Dr. Fauci's evolution as a communicator in hard times and confusing and talking to people about, what are sometimes confusing aspects of science and having to help them understand their fears and their frustrations, that emerged as some of the most important material that we had to use.
Janet, as John explained to us, you went down to D.C. to be a part of Dr. Fauci's, to embed with Dr. Fauci, kind of, to get his story. What did that mean for you in terms of a filming perspective? Were you trying to do Verite, follow him around? Did you want to do just sit down interviews with him and his family? It was kind of interesting to see his family in the film as much as they were.
We did Verite. He was very clear when we went down that his priority was science and public health. And that he was, when we went down, there were task force meetings every day, and there were, frankly, press conferences almost every day. Mm-hmm. And he was working basically about 20-hour days. And he said, you cannot do anything that will interfere with my work, because that's what I care about. And so it was trying to learn to understand how to be as small a footprint as possible for infection control reasons and also for distraction reasons, and to follow him a little bit around his home and at the office, and to slowly get a sense of the rhythm of his life so that we could do that in a way that would make sense. And his family, I think John and I are both very, very grateful. He has his wife, Dr. Christine Grady, and his three daughters are all very private people, but they understood that he is grounded in his family, and so he is able to go out and do the work he does because of his family. So it was really important to talk to Jenny, his oldest daughter, and obviously to Christine, his wife.
My guests are John Hoffman and Janet Tobias. We're talking about their new film, Fauci. John, as we heard in the trailer, HIV and AIDS played a large role in Dr. Fauci's life, and you had that great description of how he handled it.
I have to, you know, from, I think that's the first time most of us old enough to remember that time heard about him regularly. And he says in the documentary, if there was ever a disease I was made for, it's this disease in reference to AIDS. John, what made him the right scientist to spearhead this fight?
Well, Dr. Fauci was training at the time as an infectious disease specialist and an immunologist. So HIV/AIDS, we soon learned, or after a couple of years, we learned that the infectious agent was a virus that was attacking our immune systems. The first time that any such virus was discovered in nature. So here is a man who is, as he's saying, perfectly poised to take this on because of, you know, his training in both infectious disease and immunology. And he's there at the NIH, which is the largest funder of basic medical research in the world. And it is in these laboratories that in which you have the greatest scientific minds gathered in one place. And it's not long after that that he becomes the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and really transforms the sort of funding scheme around how much research was going on. But, you know, as the film also points out, it wasn't enough. And the activists ACT UP, you know, really direct most of their anger at Fauci as the leader of the nation's effort, demanding that more be done. I think it's, you know, it's an important, a very important story about how he learns to communicate and actually work with the activists.
Yeah, let's take a listen to a clip from the film Fauci, where Dr. Fauci is actually watching a clip of himself giving a speech at an ACT UP conference. This is from the documentary Fauci.
AIDS in the 1990s has revolutionized the relationship between the public and scientists. The politically charged nature of the epidemic has put researchers under an extraordinary degree of public scrutiny. They are confronted with the accusation by some that they are not doing enough and that they are moving too slowly. I'm not finished. The scientific process is often seen as overly restrictive and even an impediment to solution. The most vocal, provocative, and articulate groups among these are the AIDS activists. Some of them are better informed than many scientists can possibly imagine. Yet, they are sometimes incorrect. Believe it or not. However, in the interactions between physician scientists and activists, mistakes have been made by both sides. Activists are mistaken when they assume that scientists do not care about them. This is devastating to a physician scientist who has devoted years to AIDS research, particularly when they themselves see so many of their own patients suffering and dying. On the other hand, scientists cannot dismiss activists merely on the basis of the fact that they are not trained scientists. Activists bring a very special insight into the disease that they can actually be helpful in the way that we design our scientific approaches.
Janet, he is very moved when reflecting on this moment. And more than once in the film, he wells up. You know, he's clearly a man of science, and you spent a lot of time with him. What makes Dr. Fauci get emotional? Could you get a sense of that?
I actually think that he is deeply a head and heart person. Mm-hmm. He's actually quite emotional when you get to know him. He thinks of himself as a physician first, and he is moved repeatedly by experiences with patients and with thinking about the effect of public health issues on people. And he, over the last year and a half, I could name many moments that he started to well up. And I think that, for both John and I, was a surprise, is that he wears his heart on his sleeve. much more than you would know from watching him at press conferences or on all the news appearances. He feels deeply about what he does.
My guests are John Hoffman and Janet Tobias. We're talking about their new film, Fauci. So, John, this parallel between Fauci's work with HIV/AIDS and COVID has come up before. But I'm curious, what did you learn about that connection that you really hadn't thought about before, or that you've come to understand better about Fauci's role?
Well, I think we really came to see Dr. Fauci as a great listener, and that this is possibly his greatest strength as a leader. And, you know, you don't really know that until you're with the man, until you study as much of his life as you do. It's, again, to Janet's point of what the man that we see on the news, we hear on our car radios, you're not going to experience that. But I don't think that Dr. Fauci could have transformed the way that basic clinical research is done in this country, not just for AIDS, but for really all diseases, if he had not listened to those activists that were cheering and you know, in that clip that you played. He learned that they were right. He came to see that they were right. He didn't close himself off to their thinking. He went towards it. And he came to actually see that they were not only right about HIV/AIDS, but they were right about the entire, you know, enterprise of clinical research, that you have got to involve the people who are affected by the disease in the design of the research. So it's so emblematic of the man and that experience. And that carries over, that transformed the way he thinks about the people that he is caring for, either as a physician or that his institute is working so hard in the search for cures for diseases.
You know, it to your point, part of his ethos is bringing activists to the table, listening to them, including them in the scientific process. It's been a very different environment around his detractors now, Janet, the folks who are anti-mask and anti-vaccine, and which has become synonymous in many ways with being anti-Fauci. How does he think about trying to engage with his detractors when it comes to all around the COVID issues, all the issues surrounding COVID and the pandemic?
I think beyond being a great listener, Tony has traditionally been an incredible, Dr. Fauci has been an incredible bridge builder. He's worked with, you know, seven presidents now. He's worked with people on all sides of the aisle. He's testified in front of Congress more than any other living human being, supposedly. And you can listen to President Bush say, you know, Tony doesn't come into the Oval Office to make you look good. He's not a politician. He comes in to solve problems. And I think in watching him, it was interesting to see him struggle, because he views the virus correctly as a common enemy to all of us, men, women, children, people of all political parties, and trying to work really hard to communicate that to people. And obviously, at times, not understanding completely why that was received, you know, was there was a lot of pushback. Although he, throughout the entire time that we were with him, he was very cognizant of the complex decisions of weighing the economy and health. And his job is public health, and that's what his expertise is public health and science, and that's what he focuses on. But I think he never stops trying to build bridges to communicate with people.
He did express, though, concern that the two sides couldn't come together. Did he talk to you at all about that politics, pardon the pun, infecting health care?
I think that this weighs on him terribly, and that any of it is standing in the way of advancing the cause of ending this pandemic. That any of it is getting in the way of saving lives, and that I see Tony as, or I hear Tony as the signal amidst the noise. Mm. And, you know, he is just, you know, that sending out that signal all day, every day to anybody who will listen, because he just is determined to cut through all the noise. And, you know, as his daughter Jenny points out in the film, the noise is a distraction. I think it's an intentional distraction. But that's for a whole other conversation, mm-hmm. probably a whole other show about that distraction. But he is just sort of deterred in his mission to be the signal that we hear.
Janet, how does he respond when, as a New York Times reporter in the documentary points out, that the messaging around masks was flawed or clumsy?
I mean, I think Tony, when he saw ultimately the film, he said, "I'm really glad you didn't make me out to be perfect, because I'm not perfect. I make mistakes like everyone. And what I try and do is, as he says, is I try and let the science teach me, and that every day I learn something. And my job is to keep learning, because that's what the scientific process is."
John, one of the things that is really disturbing in the film is that Dr. Anthony Fauci has to worry about his safety, and that his family has to worry about, he has to worry about his family's safety. John or Janet, you can answer either of you. Does he fear? Does he have fear about his safety? Janet?
I would say,
because you were with him.
Yeah.
I think he's remarkably undeterred about himself. The moments I saw him angriest were about his wife and particularly his daughters. It enrages him that people have his daughters' numbers and know where they live and send them messages, as it would any father, and the same way about his wife. It really, those were the times I saw him really, really angry and upset.
The name of the film is Fauci. It is streaming on Disney Plus. I've been speaking with its co-directors and producers, John Hoffman and Janet Tobias. John and Janet, thank you so much.
Thank you, Allison.
Thank you, Allison.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink. Drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.